Welcome, family and friends, to the worship service here at New Hope Baptist Church of Wayne, Michigan. We welcome you and hope that you're up and at it. Wake up, get up, dress up, fix up from the waist up, and listen up. God bless you. And don't forget to like us on your Facebook pages, love us, send us some comments. If you have any prayer requests, please submit your prayer requests to us in Facebook there, and we will lift you up in prayer in our prayer ministry. Thank you again for joining us for this time of worship and the hearing of God's word. Let me draw your attention today to the Gospel of Luke chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. Today we observe the third Sunday and the third theme of Advent. It's the third theme of Advent, and today's theme is joy. Joy. Joy is an invaluable gift of God that radiates to others. The word says in Romans 15 and 13. So we're going to be talking about joy today. So turn with me in your Bibles again, your attention to the Gospel of Luke chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. Let us pray. Now God, through your written word, through your spoken word, may we know your living word and walk it out in our lives. In Jesus Christ, amen. Luke chapter 2, verses 4 through 10, the scripture reads like this from the New International Version of the Bible. So Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house of the line of David. He went there to register with Mary and was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. Verse 10, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Do not be afraid, the angel said. I bring to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. This joy that I'm talking about today is for everybody, whether you're God meant this joy to be for everybody, whether they be Buddhist, Islam, Confucianism, Jehovah Witness, Christian, whoever. This news is for everybody. This great news about baby born Jesus, the scripture says, is for all the people. Joy is different from happiness. Happiness is dependent upon what happens to us. Joy is an inner contentment despite our circumstances or regardless of what happens to us. Even in the midst of hardship, we can choose to live with joy. This choice is possible for believers who are filled with the Holy Spirit and walking obediently according to God's word and God's will. If we spend our time looking for joy and not finding it, it could be that we're just looking in the wrong place. Happiness is often sought around us, but true origin of joy is only found within us. It's been hard to find any happiness or joy this year with the confluence of politics and racial injustice and pandemic and economic turbulence, educational malfunction, family stress, illness, and death. It's hard to find real happiness and joy this year. So joy is a deep sense of pleasure, delight, gladness, and well-being that is independent of our circumstances. Hear me when I say about joy. Hear me that I say we all as Christians ought to have some joy. Joy is a sense of delight in God that can cause our heart to smile, even if things on the outside seem to be falling apart, falling away from us. In all of life's circumstances, it's valuable for us to ask ourselves, am I relying on my happiness? Or does my strength come from my joy in the Lord? Where does your strength come from? This word joy is found some 93 times in the Old Testament. In the book of Luke, joy is often associated with salvation. Joy is a Hebrew word that means glee or exceedingly joy. God wants us to be what? Joyful. God wants us to be joyful. Perhaps you feel as though you've lost your joy. If you lost your joy, Pastor, you might ask, how can I get my joy back? How can I get my joy back? And this morning we want to talk about how to restore your joy. How to restore your joy. And so here's some principles for you to learn and to discover how to get your joy back. Somebody say, I want my joy back. I want my joy. I want my joy back. The first principle is this. Joy is something that God can restore. Joy is something that God can restore to you. The 51st Psalm, the scripture says, restore to me the joy of your salvation, the psalmist says, and uphold within me a willing spirit. Do you recall, do you remember when you first got saved and you joined the church, you were filled with joy. That same joy is not only available to you today, but it's God's will for your life to have joy each and every day. Every day is his desire. Every day his desire is that we would know his joy in our hearts in such a way that it becomes obvious to everybody around us, especially those who live with us, ought to know that, you know what, there's something about the contentment that I have, and it can't be anything but the joy of Jesus in our hearts. Secondly, if we're going to get our joy back, joy is found in God's presence. Joy is found in God's presence. The 16th Psalm, the psalmist says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are the pleasures forevermore. If you lack joy, you ought to make a determined effort to spend time in God's presence. Whether it be in church, in the sanctuary, or in your private prayer closet, you ought to make it a determination. You ought to make it a habit. You ought to make it a will. You ought to make sure that you spend some time in God's presence. And God's presence is not confined to your particular quiet time with him. You could be in the grocery store, you could be in your car, and all of a sudden you sense the presence of God in your spirit. That's the beauty of God. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. And the best thing you can do for yourself is to be open to how he wants to manifest himself to you. Don't box God in. Don't lock God in. Don't limit God to one place or one time. God is bigger than our circumstances. He's bigger than our fears. He's bigger than our plans. He's bigger. He outweighs our ambitions. He desires to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that we can ask or think or imagine, Paul says in Ephesians, the 3rd chapter. So God is so big that he fills the whole world up. God is so big, up and down, left and to the right. God fills all the spaces in your life and my life and everybody's life. There's no direction that we can go and escape God's presence or God's love. God is everywhere, and we ought to try to be everywhere with God. There's no place where God cannot work. There's no place that is, there's no soul in which God cannot desire to want to inhabit. God wants to live everywhere in your life and around your life, but particularly he wants to live in your hearts. The 100th Psalm says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Be thankful and bless his holy name. You can restore your joy by finding some place in which you can worship and spend time with God. Consider his incredible kindness. Celebrate how great and powerful God is, and you will experience God's joy. Thirdly, if you want to restore your joy, joy is a result of righteousness. Hear me that one more time. Joy is a result of righteousness. The 97th Psalm says, light shines on those who do the right thing. Joy belongs to those who are honest with God. In other words, you got to do right and be honest with God if you want to have some joy in your life. You can't lie to God. You can't trick God. You can't outrun God. You can't manipulate God. You can't undermine God. No, God sits high and knows everything. He controls everything. That's why we call God a sovereign God. But your joy is restored as a result of your righteousness. Ecclesiastes 2:26 says, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and joy to those who please him. I'm talking about pleasing God. And you know what? I want joy in my life. And so I want to walk with God. I want to please God. And I want to show God that, God, you are my all in my all. If you have an unaddressed sin in your life, It will diminish your joy. On the other hand, when we're walking with God with a clear conscience, your joy increases. If you want to restore your joy, fourthly, joy is found in delighting in God's word. The 119th Psalm says, your statutes are the joy of my heart. When we delight in the Bible, when we delight in God's word, it makes us wise so we don't stumble. It becomes a source of grace. It becomes a source of life. I'm talking about God's word. It becomes a source of strength and freedom and wisdom and hope and patience and peace and salvation. In the Bible, we find a whole lot that we can meditate upon and depend upon. And just get into God's word. The Bible's a letter from our distant father. The Bible's a picture of our best and most faithful friend, Jesus. The Bible's a certificate of our adoption into the family of God. Why? Because we are heirs and co-heirs with Jesus Christ. The Bible's a declaration of our liberty and our freedom and from our freedom from slavery. The Bible is a description of our heavenly inheritance. The Bible's the evidence of our heritage, for we are made kings and priests by God. The Bible is an instruction manual for wise, favored, holy, and blessed living. All that's in the Bible. The Bible is both a statement of our account and a checkbook of what belongs to us by the promises of God. Matter of fact, if you trust Jesus Christ in your heart, God's going to give you the desires of your heart. And God said, call upon me and I will answer. In other words, if you declare God through Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, you can ask for whatever you want. And my Bible says, it shall be yours. The Bible is a telescope where we can see the heavenly city that is our destination. If you want to restore your joy, joy is a result of speaking with wisdom. Proverbs 15 and 23, the scripture says, make an apt answer. To make an apt answer is a joy to a man, and in the word and season, how good it is. God's desire is that every one of us who walks with him will speak life-giving words to the people around us. If you're going to walk with God, you got to make sure you have a positive spirit around other folks. And that positive spirit needs to come from God. When our words are filled with wisdom, it produces joy. And that joy glorifies God. If we're going to restore our joy, joy is produced by hope. Joy is produced by righteous hope. Proverbs 10 and 28, the scripture says, the hope of the righteous brings joy. What is hope? What is hope? For the Christian, hope is the anticipation that God will do something good. God has done good through us, through his son, Jesus Christ. And he will continue to do good in more ways than we can ever count. Yes, if we develop the habit of anticipating God's goodness in your life, then you're going to have some joy. Somebody say joy. Joy, joy, joy. If you're going to restore joy in your life, joy is found in answered prayer. If you call upon God. John 16 and 24, the scripture says, until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Jesus goes on to say, ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Answer prayer brings joy, but you can't have answer prayer if you don't pray. I'm talking about prayer. Prayers that are righteous, the Bible says. Prayers that are righteous prevaileth much. And you won't pray as much if you don't have a prayer time. Making time to prayer is the key to making room for your joy. Prayer is a process through which we learn to trust in God. You see, God listens to us patiently. He takes our requests seriously. And then God considers everything in the context of the bigger picture that only God can see. That, again, that's why God is called a providential God. God has already gone ahead of our situation. He already knows what's going to happen out there. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. He knows what's going to happen next week. He knows what's going to happen next year. 2021, we need to declare right now, God, I want to go into a new year claiming Jesus as our source of my joy. And you need to know that 2021 can be better than 2020. I know 2020, it's been a hectic year. It's been a bad year. It's been a sad year. It's been a heavy year for everybody. But you got to go and ask God, Lord, I want 2020 to be better than 2021 to be better than 2020. For example, God knows better than you do what the eventual outcomes of every situation will be. If you pray for dry weather for an outdoor event or for a church event or something the church is planning, God might know another reason why it needs to rain on that day. So don't begrudge God because it rained. You see, it's easy to accept this idea when it doesn't affect a personal situation in your life. But the test of faith comes when God asks you to trust him with something or somebody else that matters to you. God already knows what he's planning for tomorrow. You just got to put your hands and your trust and your faith in the hands of God. If you want to restore your joy, joy is produced by the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5 and 22, the Bible says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Galatians 5, 25, the scripture goes on to say, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. One measure of the Spirit's working in your life is joy. If your spirit is not producing joy in your life, then it's important to consider that something in your life may in fact be blocking the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. You need to know that there's some things, there's some people, there's some places that may be blocking your blessings, because when you're doing something that's contrary to the word, doing something that's contrary to God's will, you may be blocking your blessings. And if you're going to restore your joy, you got to make sure you are in sync. You got to make sure you are in constant contact with God, our maker and our creator, through Jesus Christ. Ask the Lord to identify that blockage and remove it so that his joy may flow in your heart. Restoring your joy. If you're going to restore your joy, joy fills our heart as we remember the good things God has done through his people that he has placed in our lives. Philippians, Paul says in Philippians, the first chapter, I thank my God, he says, I thank God every time I think about you. And every time I pray for you all, I pray with joy, Paul says. I pray with joy because of the way in which you have helped me with the work of the gospel from this day until the day we return. You need to know that joy needs to fill our hearts as we remember the good things that God is doing. When I think about the people that God has placed in my life, who they are and what they've done, it just brings me joy. Not everybody in my life has brought me joy. Sometimes you need to have some folks that bring you pain in your life so you can remember the folks that brought you joy in your life and give God, say, Lord, I thank you. Things are not as bad as they could be, but thanks be to God, they're not as bad as they used to be. I thank God for the joy that God has placed in the people in my life. So instead, spend some time thanking God for the people that he has developed, that he has sent in your life to develop you. Thank God for the people that he has sent in your life to encourage you. Thank God for the people that he has sent in your life to stand in the gap with you, to defend you, to be truthful for you, to those that have supported you, those who have served with you. And then you will have joy when you remember those folk that have been by your side. That there's some folks that you need to leave your life, but you ought to thank God for the folks that he brings into your life. I'm talking about restoring your joy. And then next and lastly, joy comes when you trust in the Lord. Joy comes when you trust in God. The 40th Psalm, the scripture says, oh, the joys of those who trust the Lord. Placing our trust in God brings joy. I don't know about you, but it brings me joy when I think of God. We have a God who loves us more than we can ever imagine. A God who is more powerful than we can ever comprehend, and who has promised to help us if we only put our trust in him. Settle in your heart. Believe in your heart right now that God wants to help you. God is not against you. God wants to help you. Matter of fact, God wants to prosper you and make you successful. And again, happiness depends on good circumstances, but joy depends upon a faithful relationship on the inside. Conditions change every day, but our relationship with Jesus is unchanging. Just because we go through hardship and suffering doesn't mean that God has moved 1 inch from us. No, God is not moved. Joy can be the reality in our suffering. We can rejoice even when we're hurting. God walks through the hurt with us because he knows the end of the story, and so do we. The 23rd Psalm, the psalmist says, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For why? Because God is with us. His rod and his staff, they comfort us. The Lord is in control. The Lord is in control. Somebody say, the Lord is in control. The Lord is in control of our circumstances. The psalmist goes on to say in the 103rd Psalm, he says, the Lord has made the heavens and the throne. He has made the heavens his throne. And there, from the heavens, God rules everything. Remember that scripture from last week, Romans 8:28. He works all things out together for good for them that love him and are called according to his purpose. If things are going to work out, you need to confess and you need to claim those two verses, Romans 8:28 and this one here, Psalm 103:19. And here the Lord says, the scripture says, the Lord has made the heavens his throne, and from there he rules everything. And just claim that God is ruling everything in your life. He causes those tough times to turn out for good. And there's nothing that can separate us from God's love. And we can thank God for what he's doing, not only for what he's done, but what he's doing in our lives right now. And here's some questions that we ought to consider about finding joy in our everyday lives. Here's a question that we ought to consider if we're going to find joy in our everyday lives. The first question is this: where can we find true happiness and lasting joy? Where can we find true happiness and lasting joy? Another question is, how do I know that God has good, joy-filled plans for me? How can I know that God has good, joy-filled plans for me? And another question is, how can I choose joy during a life crisis? How can I choose joy during a life crisis? How can I find joy when I don't feel joyful? Or how can I trust God to turn my trials into true blessings? And another question is, how can joy grow in my heart when life is always hard? But don't try to make an excuse. Just make sure you trust God. In fact, James says in James 1, verses 2 through 4, it describes life's troubles. And it says, life's troubles are an opportunity for great joy because times of trial bring incredible endurance to our faith. God didn't have the modern convenience of the internet or cable or Zoom. So God used his tried and true angel who visited the shepherds in a field at night. And the angel delivered the most consequential breaking news that a baby was born in Bethlehem, and his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. And he's the Son of God, and he will save his people from their sin. Matter of fact, Matthew 1 says it. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. We all need a Savior, and his name, I'm here to tell you, his name is Jesus. Somebody say his name, Jesus. And this is the heart of Christmas. This is the reason why we celebrate Christmas. God loved us enough to send his only begotten Son. And think of it this way. He didn't send a committee. He didn't write a book. He didn't send a substitute. He didn't send a friend request. He didn't send a DM or a tweet or a Facebook post. No, when God got ready to save the world, he sent his best. He sent the best that he had, his one and only Son, Jesus. And in sending Jesus, he was really sending himself. And this is the remarkable truth about Christmas, is that God himself came to us as Emmanuel, meaning God is with us. Now, I'm not so naive to think that we'll always be on top of the world, or that we'll always be walking on top of a mountaintop. For there will be occasions that we'll have to travel in the valleys for a while. And in this life, we're going to have some tribulations. In this life, we're going to have some trouble. In this life, we're going to have some difficulties. We're going to have some trials. We're going to have some sickness. We're going to have some hard times. There are going to be some storms. The winds will blow. The waves will crash against your life. There'll be discouragement. Things will not go as planned. We're going to have some grief and sorrow. There will be weeping. We're going to find some difficulties in our financial situation. There are going to be some dark days. There are going to be some uncertain days. But one thing that God has provided for us in hard times in this life is joy. And the 30th Psalm, the scripture says, for his anger endureth but a moment. His favor is life. But he goes on, the psalmist goes on to say that last portion, that 30th Psalm, the 5th verse, he says, but weeping may endure for a night, but joy, 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 joy comes in the morning. In other words, the dark times, heavy times, financial stress, difficulty times, sickness, even grief, it may last for a little while, but joy is soon gonna come. And what brings joy? what brings joy to our soul? Salvation. And our salvation, that means for us to trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord until the day I die. I may have some burdens, but my trust in Jesus brings me joy. Turn to whoever you may be virtually watching worship with today. Turn to whoever you may be sitting with today. And say to them, look in their eyes and say, I've got. Just say, I've got. I've got. In other words, I've got some troubles, but I've got joy. I've got some problems, but I've got joy. I've got some doubt, but I've got joy. I've got some jealousy, but I've got joy. I've got some sickness, but I've got joy. I've got some enemies, but I've got joy. I've got some habits that's hard to break, but I've got joy. I've got some bills to pay, but I've got joy. I've got a bad report of confidence, but I've got joy. I've had some difficulties, but I've got joy. I've got some family problems at home, but I've got joy. I've had to deal with some harassment. I've got harassment at the workplace, but I've got joy. I got the devil tracking me down, but I've got joy. And when we have salvation and we're walking in the truth of God's word, then we are blessed by God. We have joy not because we have a new car. We have joy not because we got more money. We have joy not because we got a new place to live. We got joy not because of a new job, but we rejoice because our names are written in the Lamb's book of life. If your name is written in the book of life and you know that there's another life after this life, after all the circumstances, after all the issues, after all the hard times, if you know there's a better place, there's a better way, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody can come to the Father except by me, guess what? I got joy. I got joy. What brings joy? Oh, what brings you joy? Somebody said, when I thank the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, thank you, God, for saving me. Oh, I got joy. The psalmist says in the 51st Psalm, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold within me a free spirit. As we prepare for a new year, in 2021, a fresh beginning, a new anticipation to safe return to in-person worship. Don't witness to somebody with a frown on your face. Don't invite somebody to your church with a sourpuss look on your face. But when you get ready to come back to church, make sure that you got some joy. Go and get some joy. Show some joy. Exemplify some joy. Demonstrate some joy. Walk with joy. Talk with joy. Smile with joy. Clap with joy. Praise God with some joy. And if you can't get excited about that, the fact that you know him, do you have some problems? You need to get some joy. There is joy in salvation. And when you have joy, you go from doubt to trust. When you have joy, you go from complaining to confidence. When you have joy, you go from failing relationships to new friendships. When you have joy, you go from your old nature to a new creation. When you have joy, you go from trusting in man to trusting in God. When you have joy, you go from the valley to the mountaintop. When you have joy, you go from a dead church to a reviving church. When you got joy, you go from earth to heaven. I got joy. Why? Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Restore your joy. Somebody sang the lyrics, Whitney Houston or the Georgia Mass Choir. Joy, joy. God's great joy. Joy, joy down in my soul. Sweet, beautiful, soul-saving joy. Oh, joy, joy, joy in my soul. We call him the Master's joy. We call him the Savior's joy. We call him the Lily of the Valley's joy. We call him the Alpha and Omega joy. We call him the Strength and Power joy. My joy, our joy, his joy is Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for restoring the joy of our salvation. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, your word says in 1 Thessalonians 5 that we ought to be joyful always. But it takes strength to hold on to joy when life threatens to snatch it away, even from our own hands. But the Lord, we ask right now that you teach us to recognize the threats to our joy and employ a strategy to refute those threats and to give us a stronger outlook on the other side and still hold on to your unchanging hands. We pray, oh God, now that we'll lift you up and we'll praise you for these lessons of joy as we model the footsteps of Jesus through the Bible, through your spoken word that's useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness. Oh Lord, may your Holy Spirit help us now to understand your word fully as we live out our lives in the name of Jesus for joy. In his name, we ask it all. And for his sake, we praise you and we bless you. Amen. God bless you. Know that God loves you. Know that God has not forgotten you nor forsaken you, but he keeps you. Keep Jesus as a joy of your life. There may be someone here today, someone viewing us, that's not accepted Jesus Christ as the joy of your salvation. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved and your family. Don't enter this Christmas season without the joy of Jesus in your heart. God bless you. God loves you. Receive Jesus as the Lord of your life. In Jesus' name.